Megan, is it just you this afternoon?
Yes, it's me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Excellent. Thank you. Well, this is what day is it today? This is Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Megan, please call the roll.
Hardesty.
Here. Sorry, I couldn't get my mute button faster.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. And a question for legal counsel. I assume we are not taking public testimony today, so we do not need to read the rules of order and decorum, or I'm mistaken.
I would like to read them since we have given participant status to everyone that testified previously. So although we're not taking testimony, they have the ability to interrupt. So
I think it's very good. Just to be consistent then, under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference. The city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to council by emailing council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit physical contact. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you for your patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we manage through this challenging situation to conduct the city's business. And with that, Lauren, I'll turn it over to you for the rules of order and decorum.
Thank you. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary, and please disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you're representing an organization, please identify it. Presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruption, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty has a point of order.
Yes, Mayor. I just wanted to put on the record that I had to leave at 5 when we were listening to public testimony at the first hearing. I've had the opportunity to review the public record and am fully able to participate today.
Very good. Thank you. Megan, could you read our item for today, time certain item 588?
Consider proposal of 340 Northwest Gleason for demolition review and adjustment review approval and Bureau of Development staff recommendation for denial for contributing building the old Blanchet House at 340 Northwest Gleason Street in the new Chinatown Japantown National Register Historic District.
Thank you. And as a preliminary matter, I would also like to disclose for the record that I've reviewed the entire record and I'm prepared to participate today. Moreover, I don't have any conflicts of interest to declare, nor have I made any site visits. Do any members of the council have any ex parte contacts to declare or other information gathered outside of this hearing since the last council meeting that you would like to disclose?
I'm just going to go ahead and remind council or alert council that on July 16th, members of the council did receive an email from Peggy Moretti with Restore Oregon after the record was closed. So if it was after the record was closed, and so therefore it's ex parte communication, if any member of the council reviewed that email, please declare it for the record and allow parties to rebut the substance of that letter.
Has any member of the council received? I have not read that. I don't know if anybody else has. Has any other member of the council read that email that
I haven't seen it or read it, no.
Great. Okay. So and it usually takes a bit of time for those emails to filter to the principals. So it does not appear, Lauren, that any member of the city council has seen that email.
Okay. Thank you. And since it was sent to the members of the council when the record was closed, I'd recommend council reject by motion and second any testimony that was received after the record was closed.
Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Commissioner Hardesty makes the motion. Commissioner Ryan seconds the motion to discount or disregard any testimony received after the closure of the record. Any further discussion? Please call the roll on the motion.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Ryan.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The motion passes. Does anybody else have any ex parte contacts or site visits or other potential conflicts of interest that have arisen since the last discussion on this subject? I'm not seeing any. So that gets us then right to our deliberations. And so with that, I will ask my colleagues if anybody would like to begin deliberations. Sorry, I'm trying to get into the... Commissioner Ryan, sorry, I was in Zoom outer space for a minute. Commissioner Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think this is where I'm supposed to do this. Members of the public, hearings always confuse me a bit, so just know that. But I move to approve with the conditions that are presented on the screen that we sent to the clerk. Is this the time to bring that up?
Yeah, Meg, if you can go ahead and share on your screen the condition that Commissioner Ryan has prepared. And then... And I don't know, because it's in writing, just for accessibility purposes, I think it would be helpful if it could be read into the record. I know it's very long and I apologize.
So the clerk will read it, or do you want, are you gonna read it?
You can read it, the clerk can read it, or I can read it.
I'm really okay with letting someone else read it. And this has been shared with all the council offices.
Yeah, I can read it.
Okay, thanks.
I'm just doing this for accessibility purposes so that it can...
Absolutely. I support that. We all do. Yeah.
Okay. Prior to demolition, the property owner will establish a stakeholder committee with the following representative members. One, executive director of Japanese American Museum of Oregon or board member of Japanese American Museum of Oregon. Two, a member of the Old Town Community Association as selected by its board. Three, a historian with knowledge of the district and its history. Four, executive director of Blanchet House or a member of the Blanchet House board. Five, a lead donor of the redeveloped clinic in the new building. The property owner will consult with historic review staff at the Bureau of Development Services when selecting the historian. If Blanchet House no longer owns the property, representative members 4 through 5 will be selected by the property owner. The role of the stakeholder committee prior to the demolition is to document the structure through such methods as documentary, physical, or pictorial evidence and advise the property owner on the retention of historical elements prior to demolition. The stakeholder committee shall share its findings with the historic review staff at the Bureau of Development Services. Historic review will be required for any new development on the site. Prior to submittal of the historic review application for redevelopment of the site, the stakeholder committee must review and summarize the known written and oral history of the users of the site from its construction around 1905 to present. The committee shall make recommendations to the Blanchet House and its partners on feasible and meaningful ways to reflect, revive, and honor that history in the new building. Blanchet House and any subsequent owner must use all reasonable efforts to incorporate these recommendations into the redevelopment. This decision must be recorded in the property records of Multnomah County, and these conditions continue to apply and run with the land. If Blanchet House is not involved in the redevelopment of the site, any development must also comply with the conditions above.
Thank you. Commissioner Ryan, can I ask you, well, first of all, I'll ask, is there a second to Commissioner Ryan's motion?
Second.
There's a second for Commissioner Ryan's motion from Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioner Ryan, has this been shared with the folks at Blanchet House?
No, the records were closed, so I didn't think that was possible.
Ah, okay, very good. Fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are.
Good. All right. So we have a motion and we have a second. And Lauren, just to be clear, so the motion now has been made to approve the permit. And correct me if I'm not repeating this or paraphrasing this correctly, Commissioner Ryan, but with these further stipulations. Is that a fair interpretation?
I mean, it would be a motion to tentatively approve the application for a demolition and an adjustment with the conditions as proposed by Commissioner Ryan. And it's a tentative vote because we'll need to return with findings.
Okay, so it's a tentative approval for the application for demolition and adjustment, but subject to the conditions that Commissioner Ryan has put on the table. Just so we are understanding, I want to make sure I understand completely what the motion is. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair interpretation?
That sounds accurate to me.
Very good. Commissioner Hardesty.
I think Commissioner Rubio was first.
No, okay, first. Commissioner Rubio, okay. Then Commissioner Hardesty.
So I had a point of order question. Because Blanchet House has not seen this amendment, wouldn't it be appropriate to have someone representing Blanchet House at least give us some sense of whether or not this is something that they could live with?
We can ask Blanchet House's attorney, she's on the line, whether or not her client objects to the condition, and that would prevent them from being able to challenge the condition at LUBA. Christy, could you answer whether or not your client objects to the condition as written?
No objection.
Thank you. Right. That's very helpful for me. I've seen this building, so I know this building must come down. And I really want to appreciate Commissioner Ryan trying to find a compromise that would work for both sides of this issue. Never easy to come up with a compromise. We have to do it without talking to the people involved, but I applaud you for this. And I just want to put on the record that I do not believe that Blanchet House did not develop and intentionally neglected this property. I found that not a winning argument for the other side. I know the services that are provided daily. I know the care and that this organization gives to people in need in that community. And I just, it just struck me a little wrong, the accusation. It would be different if I was sitting here with a big out-of-town developer that was swooping in, trying to make a killing, and then go back to wherever they were from. But this is a community treasure. Blanchet House is a community treasure that has proven its worth over and over and over again. And I am, again, thrilled that there is a compromise that is acceptable to both sides that will allow us to move forward with this project. Because honestly, this building must come down. That is the bottom line. And the question is whether or not the case that was presented was whether or not the reason this building is in such poor repair is whether it was intentional neglect because of a desire to tear it down. I don't believe that, I won't believe that, and none of the information that was presented proves that that is so. And so, I appreciate all the testimony and all the passion that was given. And I think that where we're headed is the best outcome that I could have hoped for.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Commissioner Rubio.
I wanna also appreciate Commissioner Ryan for really trying to find a path through here. I do have some concerns though about, I really for me, this is, and again, I really want, you know, want to appreciate Blanche House and their incredible work in the community. And I cannot imagine a Portland without the work that they do. I am specifically talking about the erasure of the Japanese American community's history and contribution in this community. And so for me, I have pieces that are missing here, and I'm very glad to see, you know, the interest in convening a communication, hopefully coming to an agreement about how to honor and uplift that history. But for me, the proposal does not go far enough. I feel like it is not respectful of that history and contribution just to have one representative in that group. So, and also I want to know if we can also ask the community, the Japanese American community, if this is also something that they're in agreement with and support. I don't know if that's, we're able to do that either, but that's something that is important for me to know as I make this decision.
Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. After Commissioner Mapps, I also see Kerry Richter and Jerry Johnson. Commissioner Mapps, and then Kerry.
I think this question is probably for the city attorney. What happens if one of the parties named to sit on the steering committee, let's say the historian or the neighborhood association, declined to participate in this group? Where does that leave us?
So the way I read the condition, they would be requests, you know, the property owner would ask them to be a part of the committee. If they refuse or unable or uninterested, I think then the committee would still make recommendations. Ultimately, it's not a governing body. It's not a public body, and we can't do much to make them participate. And at some point we impose a condition and then it's out of the city's hands. They make a report back. So there is a little bit of an expectation of good faith participation here. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does.
Okay, and then I just wanna say something, Mayor Wheeler, before you call on members or people that are signed up that are not members of the council, the record is closed. We did give people who testified previously the ability to participate if they, for example, wanted to object to something.
Yes,
but
sorry,
I want to be very careful.
I just figured out, yeah, that we pulled people into the panelist section. I apologize. I was confusing them with staff, and so understood. Yeah. So folks, if you're not a member of city staff or one of the legal teams, this is not the time to chime in.
Well, and if they would like to make an objection for the record to preserve that objection for a LUBA appeal, that is appropriate. But if it's to testify or provide new evidence or information, then I'm going to ask council to reject it.
Okay, so Commissioner Rubio, did you have your hand raised again?
I'm still waiting for any sort of acknowledgement or answer to my question.
Okay, why don't we get to Kerry, and then after that, let's see if we can get somebody either on legal counsel or staff to answer your question, because it was a fair question, obviously. Kerry?
Pardon my interruption. I don't represent anybody here, but I am a lawyer, and I do object to the condition. One, because for the reason that Commissioner Rubio mentioned, that none of the participants, stakeholders on the Japanese American community have seen the condition or evaluated it at all. And my initial response is, I'm not sure how the condition works with respect to timing of the new construction versus the demolition. If the condition requires these steps to be taken before demolition occurs and a building permit is approved, then I don't think you need the adjustment. So the adjustment ought to be denied because the applicant won't need it under this condition. So I just, again, I've read the condition long enough to see it on the screen for about 1 minute. So I'd like the opportunity to weigh in on it in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd ask legal counsel, is that sufficient, I assume?
To posting it for the brief time or?
No, Lauren, I assume that there's nothing that's problematic about what Kerry just said in stating her objection.
Yeah, her objection's fine and she's preserving for the record. And then if council, well, I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. So yeah, just chime in if there's an issue. So back to Commissioner Rubio. Commissioner Rubio, could you please, for the benefit of legal counsel, state your question again, just so it's fresh in everybody's mind?
I want some response to like the idea of incorporating more community engaged or more members of the Japanese American community to participate in any discussion rather than one. And also the second question was, someone help me what my second question was.
Commissioner Rubio, I thought what I heard you ask
about the Japanese American community, since we asked one party, can we ask the other party how they feel about this proposal? Yes.
Yeah. So what I might suggest council does, given Carrie Richter's objection and what I'm hearing from the council, is we are under a very tight timeline because the applicant has a 120-day deadline, in which case if we don't make a decision within a certain amount of time, they can go to court. And so I would like council to make a decision by next week. But what I can recommend is that we leave the record open for 1 week for people to testify on this condition, and then council returns next week to make a tentative vote, and then we come back with findings. That still puts us in a very tight timeline, but that is, we do have some room for a couple of days of written testimony about this condition. There are individuals that testified at the last hearing that have been given participant status today. If council wants to hear oral testimony from those individuals, that's also an option, or we can just limit it to written testimony over the next few days.
I have one more question. Does that prohibit the parties from outside of this during that time from getting together and having a conversation?
Absolutely not. The parties can always communicate and coordinate and come back with another condition or suggestion.
So Lauren, if I hear what you're saying, your proposal with regard to testimonies to keep the written record open for some period of time, we would continue this hearing to next week, presumably 2 p.m. next Wednesday.
Is that time available, Megan?
Oh, looking at the calendar, it looks like the best time would be Thursday, the 29th at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m., okay. So the council deliberation and ideally tentative vote will happen next Thursday, July 29th at 3 p.m. And in the interim, the record is open. Does council have a suggestion of when the written record should close?
Commissioner Hardesty.
I'm sorry, Mayor, I wasn't going to weigh in on that question. I'll wait until...
I would say let's close the written record. You know, let's give people the weekend. So why don't we say Monday at 5?
I think how about Tuesday at 5? This way
you're
have...
a more generous person than I. Tuesday at 5 it is.
Tuesday at 5, and then what I would ask is that if council would like to keep the record, the testimony limited to the condition, to specify that the record is open until Tuesday at 5 for testimony related to the condition as proposed by Commissioner Ryan. Any other testimony will be rejected.
I would accept that. Colleagues, can I get a head nod on that?
And Commissioner Ryan, Commissioner Hardesty, are you... you're not participating in council next Thursday, or are you available to participate for this hearing next Thursday, the 29th?
Let me look at my calendar quickly and ask the question that I was waiting. I'm concerned that we have moved and second Commissioner Ryan's amendment, but we've not voted on the amendment. What is that?
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think we all have the same question. Does it just sit out there? Does he pull it back? What happens?
The amendment is on the table. And so council will take it up next Thursday.
Yeah, and we'll restate it. We'll restate it on Thursday and make sure that that's still where the sentiment of the proposer and the seconder is. Dan being the proposer, you being the seconder, and it's not only an amendment; it is actually the tentative vote on the acceptance of the permit with those additional conditions. But we can always change that depending upon how the conversation goes.
I will not be here next Thursday.
Is there a time on Wednesday? Are you here next Wednesday, Commissioner Hardesty?
I am.
Is there a time on the calendar next Wednesday, Megan?
There is. We could do 10:15 time certain next Wednesday. It's a long day. Otherwise, we could do August 18th at 9:45.
We cannot do it after next week because of the 120 deadline. Okay, so I'd like to restate for the record.
Wait a minute. Full disclosure. I'm mayor. It's the greatest job ever. I love it. I'm 100% in it to win it. I'm driving my daughter to summer camp on Wednesday. And I will make every effort to be available, but it's a fairly remote location. And so there is a possibility that I will not be able to participate on Wednesday. But I will make every effort. I will even bring my satellite phone so that if I have to call in, I can call in.
Okay, so we'll go with Wednesday, the 28th.
Before we agree to that, I see Christy has her hand raised. Shouldn't we hear what her comment is first before we lock this in? Christy?
Yes, thank you. Given that we're going to start losing potentially council members who have been invested a lot of time and resources into evaluating this proposal, I would prefer that we're selecting an opportunity and a process here where all five of you are present, because I know you're all invested in this application as we are and the opponents are. One solution to that, and item as a mother, have no interest in getting in your way, driving to camp, is that we provide oral testimony now on that condition. For example, if there's a request to add more people of Japanese American descent to the committee, Blanche House would not object to that.
Can I say something, Mayor?
Yeah, of course, yeah. As legal counsel, you get to chime in whenever you want.
Thank you. Christy, I would like to leave the opportunity for written testimony only because people may not have appeared today thinking that there was not going to be an opportunity for testimony. Instead, if you're hoping to provide counsel some flexibility, perhaps your client could consider extending the 120-day clock a week or two. I don't know exactly how much time, a minimal amount of time so we can get the next council date when all five members are there.
Our interest is in being sure we have a full council to discuss this important issue.
And so is there a full council available the following week of August 2nd? Let me pull up the council calendar.
Yeah, council is canceled for the week of the 2nd and the week of the 9th.
That's right.
So that's okay. The 18th is the next available.
I think it's next Wednesday when the mayor is driving. That's the magic spot.
That day. I'll still be taking calls all day. I'll still be doing Zoom meetings. I'm just giving you a heads up that depending upon where I am, I may or may not. I'm just giving you full disclosure. I'll be on the road, so you know how that is.
So, Christy, I guess the question would be, your client has a 120-day deadline that is up end of August 22nd. If council reconvenes the week of August 16th, we know that all five members will be there, but that is a couple more weeks out, or it could be next Wednesday, and we may or may not have all five members.
Well, I mean, this is that's difficult because of the status of the building and the concerns for leaving it in its current state. So I think that what we, I'm wondering if what's possible is we set it for Wednesday, and if we don't have a full council that's able to vote either by proxy or satellite phone, that we go to the 16th, but that's an associated waiver. But I'm hoping that what we can do is get this complete next week.
Okay, so the hearing is continued. At this point, we don't have a 120-day waiver. The hearing is continued until July 28th at 10:15 a.m. In the meantime, there is a motion and a second already on the table. In the meantime, the record, the written record is open until July 27th at 5 for testimony directed at the condition. Any testimony unrelated to the condition will be rejected by council. And Christy has her hand up again.
I'm trying to take it down, sorry.
Kristen Miner.
Thank you very much. I do have a quick question about the condition of approval, and I'm wondering if it's possible to get some clarification about that condition. So it's really a follow-up from the question Carrie Richter had asked, which is about the requested adjustment and I guess the timing of the demo permit. So what exactly, you know, has to be provided or has to happen before demo? Thank you.
All right, very good. All right, then we are continuing this item then to next Wednesday, 10:15 a.m., time certain. And the written record will remain open until Tuesday at 5 p.m., but only on the subject that we have discussed today related to the conditions that the demolition permit would be subjected to. Does that sound right, Lauren?
It does sound right. And Megan, is the council clerk able to post the condition to the council clerk's website so that people can read it at their leisure and testify to it? Otherwise, I can find a way to share it with the parties that testified, but I think that would be the best way is if we can post it to the city's website.
Yes, we'll add it to the agenda item itself, so you'll be able to view it there.
And Commissioner Mapps has his hand up, then Commissioner Ryan.
I wasn't clear to me if Kristen Miner got a response to her question.
It sounded to me like the question that it was testimony directed at the condition, and that when Kristen, when you see the condition or have an opportunity to read it, that might be a question that you pose or testimony to the condition that you offer.
So my question was whether the condition is going to be clarified before it's published, and if not, you know, I guess there's just a lot of questions now about really what the condition means. So is it possible that that condition could be clarified before it gets published?
So the condition's already been moved and seconded and it's on the table. So this, now the record is going to be open for people to testify. And if there are clarifications or revisions that you would like to see, that would be an opportunity to testify and make those requests.
Thank you.
Commissioner Ryan.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted for the public record to make a couple points. One is that, as you know, the file was closed. And so hence, there was no dialogue with all of you in the past week. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood that and that we all heard that at the same time. Now I want to ask a question to legal and to the rest of us. So now the record is open again. So we can have dialogue with the two parties between now and next Wednesday.
Yes, so they can communicate to council. The record is open. It will now be considered ex parte contact within the scope of the hearing. So direct communication between individual members of the and interested parties is still considered ex parte contact, but they can submit information into the record. If right. there are, I might make one other suggestion. I don't know how much time, but if council has time, since there are individuals that are here and you want to have some dialogue and hear some oral testimony at the moment, I mean, that is possible. What I'm suggesting though, is that we also need written testimony because there are people that potentially did not come today. So you're not precluded from hearing oral testimony today.
Okay, thank you. I will, since I have my hand still up, I'm open to that. It was highly uncomfortable to not be able to have dialogue since the last meeting. So I was just going by the rules and now here we are. And so I'm open if legal counsel agrees that those that are here at this time that are obviously passionate and attached to this issue to provide any oral testimony, if the rest of my colleagues are.
I'm certainly open to it. I have a hard out at 3:30.
Okay.
I've got PBEM interviews, but I would be more than happy to stick around until that time. Other colleagues, any objections? I have a thumbs up from Commissioner Mapps, Commissioner Hardesty, yes. And why can't I see Commissioner Rubio? There she is. Commissioner Rubio, are you okay with that?
But this doesn't preclude us still keeping the record open, though.
No. The record will stay open.
It's enhancing the transparency.
Yeah, but basically we're just respecting the fact that there's some people who did show up today who we can't show up next week. And as long as they're here, we might as well hear what they have to say. And I will rely on you to figure out who might be interested and call on them for us, please.
And Megan's going to post the condition up, share the screen again so that people can speak directly to the condition. Since this is a little bit on the fly, I want to be helpful to you, Megan. Would you like me to identify who has their hand up and call on them? I don't know if when you're sharing your screen, if you can do both.
Sorry about that. if you don't mind, just one second, I'm going to have my colleague share their screen instead, and then I'm absolutely fine to call on individuals' names.
Okay, and then what I would suggest is that if someone wants to testify, they raise their hand, and that's in the bottom right-hand corner, and Megan can call on you. It will just be in the order that she sees your hands raised. In the interest of keeping this somewhat organized today, if people can limit their testimony to 3 minutes and not testify more than once, and I will try to help keep track of that as well. And then again, there will be an opportunity for written testimony. So this is only a way to enhance that opportunity for written testimony.
Very good. Then Megan, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay, and we do have the timer in the meeting also. So Lauren, timekeeping shouldn't be a problem. As of now, I don't see any hands raised. Oh, all right, hey. Kristen. Yep, I just saw you. Great. You can go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for offering us this opportunity. I am glad that you're taking written as well, because there's a lot of people that didn't think there was going to be any testimony today. My comments, I think, at this point are really limited to land use procedures and the code. The code is, you know, the code is specifically developed to kind of to follow the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan has certain protections for historic properties, but allows for, you know, obviously anything to happen if we have a public process. And I just want to say that the protections in the code for a historic building are really to ensure that there's a new development that goes through a whole public process. And what I'm seeing here is I'm really worried this is turning into a popularity contest, and that is not what any land use proceeding should be. You know, we shouldn't be sort of pitting the Japanese American history against, you know, the wonderful mission that the Blanche House does. It's not about who the people are. It's really about, you know, what we have, you know, on the ground as the city of Portland, and what meaning, you know, those aspects and what good those pieces do for the city of Portland overall. You know, we have to make a judgment about what we're giving up and what we're getting. And I don't see that happening here. It really concerns me that you're willing to potentially allow an adjustment to allow no mitigation. That's the thing that really, I think, is bothering me about this case the most. And I have to say, yes, I'm passionate about this building. I'm passionate about the history. And I think there are other people that know more about it that are, you know, that want to make that case to you. But in this case, I would really urge you to follow the procedures that we have in the code. They're there for a reason. Thank you.
No other hands are raised. Oh, there we go. Lawrence, go ahead.
Will the Bureau of Development Services have an opportunity to further inform the council about their arguments for rejecting the request for demolition?
What it means. We're going to answer to a bureau, is that what he means?
Yeah, so I might jump in here because I think you're asking a question to the council, a procedural question about whether or not BDS will have the opportunity to testify again or to present. I mean, procedurally, that is, BDS has already presented, now council's deliberating. We've reopened the record for the sole purposes of commenting on this condition.
Thank you.
See, they see it here.
Carrie? Richter?
Thank you. For the record, Carrie Richter. I have some, the immediate things that jump out at me about this condition are providing some framework around the goals of this stakeholder committee and some milestones and some timing for this stakeholder committee activity to happen. It sounds like if this is just recorded against the site, this could happen years from now. And what happens to the building in the meantime? Who is going to be responsible for securing the site and maintaining the building while this happens? So that's sort of one sort of basket of issues that comes to the top of my mind right now. And then how does, I'm assuming then that the committee makes these recommendations, and let's say the committee finds that restoration of two walls of the building is critical for sharing the story of the Asian American experience. How will those recommendations be incorporated into the redevelopment if the redevelopment doesn't follow immediately after these committee recommendations? So I think there needs to be some, you know, the basket of issues of stabilizing the building and how the recommendations get implemented between the time when the committee makes a recommendation and development occurs is also critical and missing from this condition. Thank you.
Lawrence Kajaku, I see that your hand is still up. Did you have any other commentary?
No, sorry.
Oh, okay, no problem. All right, next up is Christy White.
Thank you, Christy White for Blanche House. I just want to be sure that it's clear that our request is to be sure we're returning to the council when we have a full council.
who has been invested in this in every hearing and it, through the application process. If that means we sign a 120-day waiver, we're fine doing that. Second, I'd like to address Ms. Miner's comments about following the code. It's really important to understand here that there are two ways and two different approval criteria that are alternates of each other for pursuing a demolition permit. We are not pursuing a demolition permit on the second alternate, which is to show what the redevelopment is. Instead, we are under option one, and therefore we are absolutely following the strict and literal and express allowances of the code and demonstrating approval criteria, demonstrating compliance with those approval criteria. In terms of whether there's any mitigation, I think the condition of approval that Commissioner Ryan has offered is that form of mitigation. And again, under that approval criteria, mitigation is not a requirement. In response to Ms. Richter and her questions about the condition, it seems to me from reading the screen that the timing is really clear, that prior to demolition, that stakeholder group, which may include more representatives of other communities, is established prior to demolition. We would not be permitted to demolish the building until that stakeholder committee was put together. And what I see as the other very clear timing is that prior to coming back for review of a new proposal through Historic Landmarks Commission review, we would be required, again, to incorporate recommendations into the proposal. And it seems like there's pretty clear sidebars for how those recommendations are made and what the scope of those recommendations is. So I think it's establishes what I think are very kind of clear parameters. We know how to observe them. I think the writing is pretty clear. Second, if there's any question about who's in charge of this building during that time period, it's us. We own it. We've put an incredible number of resources into it to date to maintain it, to make it safe, to ensure it. And the longer this goes, the more expensive that becomes to the Blanchet House. So don't let there be any misinterpretation of who's in charge of this property. It's the Blanchet House, and that liability is ours right now. And the point of this process is to remove that liability as soon as we can in order to redevelop it with a use that respects the cultural heritage and the uses within the building. Thank you.
Peggy Moretti.
I think that my name is under Peggy Moretti, but this is Chisao Hata. Is that what's happening?
Apologies about that. Yes, go ahead, as long as you stated okay. Your name for the record. Thank you.
So I want to thank the council for hearing this and for Council Ryan for submitting the condition. I would like to respond about regarding Commissioner Rubio's concern about the representation of Japanese Americans on this committee. We, as the Japanese American Museum of Oregon, only represent a small portion of the entire Japanese American community. So I would like to request that we have more representation on there from, I don't know if you need organizations or people's names. I don't know how this exactly works, but I would just like to make that request.
At this point, there are no other hands raised.
All right, very good then. Unless my colleagues have anything to add, this hearing is continued until next Wednesday, the 28th of, I'm sure I'm right, yes, the 28th of July at 10:15, time certain. The written record will remain open until Tuesday, the 27th of July at 5 p.m. for this purpose. Is there any other business on this topic? Seeing none, that concludes the hearing. And Megan, I believe that's our only issue for today, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.